All right, good. Sean Springs joins us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. One of the best corners ever from this area and in the NFL, and for us and for Seattle and for New England and others, and the pride of one Springbrook High in Silver Spring. Sean Springs is with us. So I was thinking about you the other day, in part because of the coverage stuff through the first three games, and wanted to get your perspective on that. So we'll circle back to that in a bit. But just your impression, you know, you grew up here, even though your father played for the Cowboys and the whole thing, and you know how
you love throwing that out there.
What?
You love throwing out there that my dad was a. You love throwing out there. My dad was a Cowboy, man. You just love throwing that out there. You know.
Well, he broke my heart a few times. I mean, you know, he's back there with Danny White and Tony Dorsett. There was some Tony Hill. Who was your, other than your father, who was your favorite Cowboy growing up?
Oh, man, they all like my uncles. Like Ed, Too Tall Jones, Drew. Probably, I spent the most time with probably Everson Walls and Tony Dorsett.
Yeah,
I would say those two. They were my Dennis Thurman is another one of my dad's probably best friends. Harvey Martin, Bruce Thornton, Randy White. I grew up with Randy White. I remember when Bill Bates came into the facility for the first time. If you guys remember the name Bill Bates,
sure.
I remember Dallas had like a racquetball court with a basketball, and Bill was in there just shooting jump shots, and it was like 110 degrees in there. And I'm a little kid, like just sitting in there. He's like sends me to get water for him and stuff. But man, those are the old days. I'm excited about the new Commanders, though.
So tell me, really your excited. First impressions of Jaden Daniels.
Well, oftentimes we see kids who perform very well in college, and we wonder if it's going to translate over to the NFL. I'm very impressed with him as a human. Everything I've seen, being over at the facility, first in the building, and people say, well, this guy's the first in the building, last out. No, he really is. He's the nicest kid. He's smart, hard worker, franchise quarterback. You know, superstar in the league, franchise quarterback. That's my first impressions.
You surprised that three games in? I mean, the game he had the other night is epic. It's one of the most memorable quarterback games, and we haven't had a lot of them around here in a long time. But are you surprised that he's done what he's done already?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, we are starting to see quarterbacks coming in the league now. I'm pretty prepared, and if you think about Coach Kingsbury's system, Cliff's system, very much like a college system, running the RPO game, run pass option, 1-2 read. If it's not there, take off. So the game plan is tailor-made for him to have success, much like you saw C.J. Stroud down in Houston. I figured, you know that system was for him, and obviously CJ had an amazing year. I think you're seeing the same thing with Jaden, a kid that the system is built for him, understands his strengths, his weaknesses, you know, what he can do. And I've been very impressed with Coach Quinn and his staff and how they've just been bringing him along in a narrative around, hey, you don't have to put the team on your back. Do what you can do, and we'll give you more each week that you can handle. And guess what? We're all in it together, and it's not about just you having to do everything, even though he had a Herculean effort the other night. But the narrative around him is just like, just be the best version of yourself, and I love that.
What's the most important thing beyond just being able to do it, being able to play the position? When you're a rookie quarterback in the organization, I know you were there for Jason Campbell, so that's one rookie quarterback that you were around. I don't know if you were around one in Seattle, but what's important beyond just proving that you can play?
I think the coaching staff and the way they prepare and how they talk to you. Going into Cincinnati, I don't think, you know, one would have said he would outperform. Anyone would have said he would outperform Joe Burrow. But it seems to be the narrative around him is, you know, hey, man, you are a guy. And we heard him say that before. But Dan and the staff has done a wonderful job. You just the way they handled him, you know, is like, hey man, like they're very honest about his abilities. They encourage him. So I think it's the staff and the team around you, from the quarterback coach to the offense coordinator, starting with the head coach and ownership.
Dan Quinn has said, we're talking to Sean Springs. Dan Quinn has said that he has the confidence that inspires everybody around him, but he's got the humility, which, you know, makes him also likable. Like, it's kind of that,
yep.
It's a hard thing to do for a young person, right? To be super confident, exude that confidence so everybody around you believes in you without being full of yourself or having all the answers. And he said, you know, from early on, that's so important in a young player at that position. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thought is, one, the confidence comes from him understanding and truly understanding his ability to be able to run and throw. And he's a coach's kid, so he's been around, you know, understand the importance of leadership in a quarterback role, and, you know, so he gets it. And just being humble, I think nowadays, you know, guys who come into the league realize that very quickly that we've seen a lot of first-round quarterbacks come into the league, not have success. Think about Bryce Young down in Carolina. You know, Caleb Williams was struggling a little bit in Chicago. So I'm quite sure he's watched football and realized that, hey, man, it's like, it could be me who, you know, one day who's up and the next day I'm down. But
right.
I think that, you know, the humility across the league at the quarterback position is people have respect for the game.
You know, there's another saying that you got to have a quarterback, and when you have one, the rest of the team knows that when you step on the team bus to head to the stadium, you got a guy that you can win with. As a player, do you think that way? I mean, look, you were on the Patriots with Brady for that one year. But is there that mindset
that
among the other players that we got a guy here, so we're good?
Yeah, 100%. The feeling of having a guy, you brought it up, the year I was in New England, riding a bus with Tom, getting off the bus, just in practice, you knew. Tom gave you a chance every game. You know, you knew that he was going to, regardless if you gave up points, if the offense was down, they were struggling in the first half, at some point he was going to make a play. And when you know that, you fight. You fight hard. Not that you don't fight hard all the time, but sometimes it can be discouraging. You go out there, and, you know, I played here in Washington, and we had a year where our defense was very, very strong in 04.
Yeah.
But our offense was, right. I don't want to, like, disrespect it, but it was pretty bad. And it was just, it was painful, right? But when you know as a defense, and you know as a team, and you know as a fans that, man, this guy can come out of nowhere and score a few points. The game is never out of reach. The fans stay in it. The team is always energized and ready to go and support and fight. So, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, just you mentioning that team, like, I would imagine you've been on some of those teams where it's like, we're really good. We're getting stops. We're forcing punts. And we're right back out there three plays later. That's got to be that's tough on a defense, especially in today's day and age, right? Because defenses holding up over 60 minutes, if they're out there a lot, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, it gets exhausting and it gets frustrating, and it can cause tension between the team at times. You know, you kind of find yourself saying that, you know, the offense versus defense. There's a clear separation between the offense and defense. And that's when you're not a really good team. But so you try not to let that happen. But so you got to be careful. You're fighting hard and the other group is not holding up their end. But in this case, man, the team looks great. Both sides of the ball are playing really, really hard. You can see the energy. You can see the energy on both sides of the ball, the special teams and the players that they bought in. They all love each other. They're all fighting for each other. It looks pretty good and kind of refreshing to see.
You know, as I was saying that to you, and you were talking about that, I was thinking just about Greg Williams, but the game, like last Monday night was a memorable Monday night game, but one of the all-time great Monday night games in terms of memories for fans and I'm sure players, basically just fit the description of what you were talking about, right? That game in Dallas in 2005, it's 13-0 for basically, you know, up until 3 minutes left in the game, you guys are, you know, forcing punt after punt, stopping them all game, and there's nothing on the board until the very end. Part of that night.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing about that is Santana was just so frustrated all night, and we would say, Tana, go say something to coach, and it was Clint Portis who told Coach Gibbs, like, throw Tana the ball. And we were playing hard. It was hot that night, and you know, Dallas had a pretty good team, and we were holding them. And when Tana scored the first touchdown, it was like, okay, you know, it's on now. We're down seven. We went right back out, stopped them again, and Santana came right back with another bomb on Aaron Glenn and those guys. So, man, that was you're right. You know, that same thing we saw Monday night, just the team just – how about that catch? How about the throw and catch to Terry? And I heard you talking about all the different quarterbacks. Man, that was so Terry was so fired up after having that catch, and it was an excellent catch, great coverage, but better throw and catch. And just seeing Terry and the team fired up on the sideline, that was really, really good to see.
Yeah, it really was. All right, let's talk about what hasn't been great for the first three games. We're talking to Sean Springs. So why has the – what's troubling the defense more than anything else right now?
Well, you know, the defense when I think about the Tampa game, there were a couple of times that the guys up front were all over Baker, and I think Baker made some great catches. I mean, great escapes and great throws and escapes, and Mike Evans made a pretty good catch, and, you know, the coverage was decent. Coming back the week later, playing Daniel Jones, who was down there, just got beat by Minnesota, and so we're thinking like, all right, we can stop the Giants, you know, although they got a superstar rookie, Malik Nabers. I think the kid is awesome. Yeah. We did it. That's what Saints used did. You know, he was targeted 18 times in that game, and I think he only gave up 10 catches, and that's a lot. But I thought the defense played better. And then now facing Cincinnati, you know, coming to that game, you know, the secondary challenge for week one and week three, there's not too many better receivers that you're going to see in the league than, you know, probably 6'5" Mike Evans and then Ja'Marr Chase. So part of it is I think we face some pretty solid offenses. You know, the Giants offense is not good. But
Nabers
Tampa
is.
But Nabers is. And so part of it is, you know, the defense. And you got to remember, whole new linebacking staff, Luvu and those guys, led by Luvu, and those guys are just, they're all new. Secondary is new. Starting a rookie, my central at corner. St. Juice is, you know, he's fighting hard, but he's not a number one corner. Jeremy Chin and those guys look good, but you got to remember, it's a whole new group of people playing together. Bobby is keeping them unified because Bobby's a leader in the middle, but Jonathan and Jay and Payne and the guys up front are really good, but it just takes a little time for them to gel and communicate. I suspect with Coach Witt and the way he approached the game, I think those guys will just get better as the season go on. Obviously, there's some weaknesses that, you know, we have to shore up, and it may be at the back end, or maybe we just need more pressure. But I feel like they're figuring it out.
Who are you impressed with in terms of their cover guys? Anybody?
I'm impressed with you know who's been impressing me? That Jeremy Chin is good. You know what I mean? I like the guys. I like Quan Martin. I like Mike Sinistrol. I mean, I hate to say it, he's a Michigan guy, but man, I love that kid. I think if he's 2 inches taller, he's a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick. I thought he was pound for pound one of the best football players coming out in the draft. I think I believe St. Juice plays really, really hard. He's close at times. He has to play the ball better. Forbes is out, but he'll be back hopefully this year. But it's one of those things, man, where you ever see the team like you that's really, really close and they play really, really hard, and a couple breaks here and there could have been different outcomes and how we view them. I think that I just believe that they're going to get better. They're going to get smarter, and they're going to start to communicate and talk about it, because a good defense needs to be all on the same page, and they got to learn how to play together. And I think that's what we're seeing. Real solid defense, but we'll get better.
Yeah, because, look, I mean, you went through the when we had a good defense, but offensively we weren't very good. Right now, through three games, offensively they are pretty dynamic and they look really good, and the defense can't get off the field. I mean, we talk about the offense hasn't punted in 2 weeks. Cincinnati didn't punt the other night, and the Giants gashed them left and right. I always feel like, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I always feel like after all these years of watching the NFL, it starts with you've got to stop the run. Because if you don't stop the run, it just makes everything else so much easier. Even Daniel Jones got healthy, you know, when they couldn't stop Singletary. Do most of the coaches you've played for, do they go in saying, first thing we got to do is stop the run, or is that overrated?
Well, no, that used to be the case. And I think it's changed a lot in the league, because the new run is, you know, quick throws, bubbles. The game is horizontal. It's just as much as it is vertical now. You saw Dayami catching a few quick screens and just exploding up. That's like a run now. So stopping the run has changed in the sense of the run is a short pass, right? So it's about winning off first down. But when you talk about the defense, you have to be able to have some stops, some tackles for a loss, some disruption plays, get backfield, you know, put pressure on a quarterback. So that's where the emphasis needs to be a little bit on, are we being disruptive? Are we getting in the backfield? Are we getting some penetration? Are we getting gashed? You don't like to see us get gashed, and I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah, let's not get gashed here and there. You can't get to give up too many of those, because the NFL offenses are hard to stop nowadays, but we can't consistently get gashed is what I think you're referring to. Not as much as stop the run, because the run now, first down teams are passing. You look at Kansas City and everybody else. It's more about, hey, we can't be getting gashed, and we got to be able to get some negative plays when needed.
Who are you excited about around the league? Like right now, who's the best corner in the league? Is it Sauce?
Oh, no. I like Sauce a lot, but Surtain is a guy for me. He's good. I think Travion still, you know, when he's healthy, he's a really good corner, because I think now the name of the game is you got to be able to get the ball. You can be in coverage, but you got to be able to get the ball. So I love Travion. I'm excited about the team. There's a few teams that surprisingly good I'm excited about. I got to start with Seattle. I mean, I didn't see that coming. You know, man, they look violent on defense, and Tino is playing well. And although that's my old team, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Come on, man. Like, I'm so happy for that kid, because you think about a quarterback who's bounced around from the Jets to the Panthers, and now looks like he's found a home, even though they drafted a first-round quarterback. Man, Minnesota is scary with Sam Darnold and Jefferson. Look like the best 1-2 punch in the NFL with a receiver quarterback combination. Those guys look good. The Saints look great. Dallas is a disappointment. You know, I didn't see that coming, but I didn't see that coming. And Cincinnati, I didn't see that coming. I thought they, you know, I knew there was a little disruption with Ja'Marr Chase holding out, but I had no idea they would be 0-3. I would have never said that in a million years. I would have predicted those guys winning their conference, the AFC North. But Justin Fields. Oh, I give a shout out to my guy and the staff at Pittsburgh, because you know obviously Russell Wilson was supposed to be the starter, but man, is he playing lights out! So, I mean, there's some teams in the league that are playing really good. The Saints. You know, so, but if I had to say what I'm most shocked about is the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Whoa, they put a spanking on Houston.
It's just, you know, we did this with Geno Smith a couple of years ago. You just can't give up on these guys. Sometimes it's all about the fit, the scheme, and the supporting cast, which he has in Minnesota. Last one, they go to Arizona Sunday.
Yep.
Kyler Murray, they're facing. What's the challenge of facing a guy that can extend a play as long as Kyler Murray can?
The fact that he's throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, listen.
Yeah, he's
he looks like the real deal.
But when you got a quarterback that can literally scramble around and move around for 6, 7, 8 seconds before he unloads it, how do you cover for that long? What do you do?
Well, the guys up front got to work.
Yeah.
You know, he is, you know, Kyler's a real deal. He's not big in stature, but he had a big heart and he can scramble and he can make some things happen. You got to keep the ball in front of you. You got to be careful with man coverage because oftentimes when the guys like that scrambling around, then it becomes duck, duck, goose, you know, and you're chasing receivers around and you're out in Arizona and even though it's indoors, it's still warm out there. Keep the ball in front of them. There's times where you may have to put somebody in the secondary, take a linebacker off the field, and put somebody in the secondary who can kind of spy them, much like people would do with Michael Vick back in the day. I mean, that, you know, not so much Lamar, but because Lamar and those guys, he's actually a runner, so he's part of the run game. But Kyler Murray is exceptional when it comes to extending the play and making something happen with his feet and then throwing it. And the guy he's throwing to is dangerous, right? You just cannot let Marvin Harrison get behind you. He's 6'4". He's special. You know, that guy's top three receivers in the league, you know, after this season.
Already. Hope
yeah,
you well.
Already. Oh, yeah. It's not even a question. Yeah, already.
I mean, it's amazing how many great receivers there are in the league right now. It's never been a receiver league like it's like it is right now.
Well,
you agree with that,
all
right?
From Ohio State. They're all from Ohio State.
Yeah. They are. Or LSU. I mean, LSU's done pretty well, too.
Yeah, LSU and Ohio State, just draft a receiver from them two schools and you're all right.
Good luck with your Buckeyes this year. Thanks.
Well, you know what our Buckeyes going to do, man. We can talk about that on another show.
Well, I mean, they should be able to beat Michigan this year. Right. Here's the closing question
about
for you. If I told you you have to choose one or the other, beat Michigan or make the playoff, which is 12 teams. If you beat Michigan, you're probably going to be in the playoff. But if we were in the old days where beat Michigan or make the playoff, which is more important to you?
You still think it's small. It's about winning the national championship.
Okay. Good answer.
It's about winning the national championship. Beating Michigan on the way to the national championship. We know we're going to make the playoffs. You know, that we
well,
spent
now.
$20 million on a roster. Of course we're going to make the playoffs. It's about winning.
If you don't make the postseason, Ryan Day is gone. At Oregon in a few weeks. That should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a tough place to play, but Oregon, better. The Pac-12 still got a up there recruiting. Big boy football is coming out there looking for Travion Henderson and Junkins. We're going to see if you like football when we go out there.
Good luck. I hope you're well.
All right,
I'm glad
brother.
You called. Thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, Sean Springs, everybody. We'll do some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app, and our show today is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro.